It's good to be here, lovely to be with you. How many of you were here 9 years ago in the church? Oh, I see a few. I was here 9 years ago, I looked it up. And that's just before Martin came to be your pastor. So it's lovely to be back. And since then, of course, you've had a few other members of the Gideons, and they send their greetings. It's lovely to be with you and to share today. You know, my text for today is spiritual chiropody. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I love that verse. I love that. When you get out of bed in the morning, you look at your feet. How many of you think you've got ugly feet? Anybody? Oh, one. Well, you know, Jean thought she'd got not very nice looking feet. Her chiropody's friend came to do some work on it, to massage her and get rid of some of the hard skin. And she apologised as she took her slippers off and said, oh, they're not very nice feet. And he looked at them and he said, they're beautiful. Do you remember that, when John said that? And it was amazing because there was she thinking they weren't very good feet, but he thought they were beautiful feet. And you know, looking at your fleshly feet, you might not think they're very beautiful, but if you are carrying the gospel of Jesus in your heart and living for him, the Bible says we've got beautiful feet. Now, we have to maintain them a bit. You don't have to rub hard skin off your heels at all. Any of you use foot balm? I have to, otherwise I get splits. As you get older, young people, you might find it's a problem. And then if you don't cut your toenails, they all curl down, wouldn't they? And you'd never get your shoes on, they cut through your socks or stockings. So we have to maintain our feet. And to keep beautiful feet, to carry the gospel for the Lord, we've got to maintain them. And that means we've got to throw off everything that would hinder us in our run for the Lord. You know, that verse appears in Romans 10 at the end of partway through a very challenging chapter, where Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they might be saved. So he wanted all his people to come to know the Lord. Isn't that what we want? Yeah? Don't you want your neighbours to come to know Jesus? Your family? Your friends at school? Your friends at work? Or colleagues at work if they're not friends? But we want them all because we know they need the Lord. We want them to share the joy we have. So Paul says, look, I want all my fellow Israelites to come to know Jesus. And then he says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, I love that very positive affirmation, don't you? Because I remember the day I really committed my life to the Lord, and I knew that if I did that, I would be saved. There were no maybes and ifs and buts. It was, if you do this and if you do that, well, I'll consider it. No, it was, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you've got a place in heaven assured for you. You will be saved. Have you got that assurance? I love the way the hymn writer puts it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Yes, he's yours and yours, you know, but he's mine. Paul talks about my gospel. Not that it was different to the gospel that the other apostles taught. It was simply that he had taken it so inside him that this was the thing that was the driving force in his heart and life. It's my gospel. Is that true for you? Because if so, you've got beautiful feet. But we need to keep them in shape. And a few verses later he says, how then can they call upon the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And then, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you know that's our calling as individual believers in the Lord Jesus? That's all Gideon's is about. Having beautiful feet to carry the gospel to people wherever we can. So a little bit of spiritual chiropody is needed. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says that we need to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Good athletes have to keep in shape. I remember when I was about 50, a couple of friends said, we're going to start running to try and get fit. And I knew I needed to get fit. I didn't know I'd got a dodgy heart at the time. It was the last thing I should be doing. But so I went pounding the streets with these guys. Well, with an hour, a mile and a half was my limit. And when I got back, I could barely breathe because the heart wasn't working very well and I didn't know it. And it was amazing how it would be minutes before I could breathe again and talk properly. Yes, we need to keep fit. By the grace of God, we need to do it God's way. And but we need to keep our feet beautiful by keeping the whole body fit too. Now, many of you are friends of the Gideons, or some of you are. How many are friends of the Gideons? I know that was at least one, or two, three. Well, that's good. And you receive regularly Gideon news and our prayer letters, either by email or in printed form. About seven times a year we do those. Gideon News is just twice a year. And that's full of good testimonies, wonderful testimonies. And I've got a lot of them over there, enough for one for each family. Great testimonies in there, but pages 3, 4, and 5 talk about the dramatic change that's happened in the Gideons this year. For some while, a number of us were feeling that the association was no longer fit for purpose. In Britain, in our climate, it needed to change. Just as we as churches have had to adapt and become more user-friendly without compromising the gospel. And that's so important, that we don't dilute the message, but we change to reach out to the people in a way that we can. And so 2018 has been a great year of change. And if you'd like to take a copy and read on pages 3 to 5 especially, you'll read all about it. But although the name has now changed from the Gideons International in the British Isles, which was quite a mouthful, to Gideons UK, isn't that nice and short and easy? Tripped off the tongue a lot easier. Although that's changed, and the membership criteria have changed, the work has not. It's still all to do with winning people for Jesus. And this is what our objective is: to place and present, distribute the Holy Bible or portions of it in various areas of everyday life in order to introduce others to the Lord Jesus Christ, to engage in personal witnessing by doing that too, and associating together for service and encouragement. And so we fellowship together to spur one another on, to rub the hard skin off each other's heels, trim toenails when you can no longer get down there and reach them, that help one another spiritually to keep fit for the Lord. And I thought it'd be helpful to tell you what the spiritual qualifications are, because they're basically what evangelical Christians like us, they're our core beliefs. And the Gideons doesn't add anything more, it simply maintains those, because to be a member of the Gideons, you have to subscribe to these basic beliefs and be a member of a Protestant church that also believes these things. You know in this day and age how the gospel is getting diluted in some places. Some places with a Christian tag no longer preach the full word. Some people don't even believe that this book in its entirety is the Word of God. Oh, it contains the Word of God, but not cover to cover, surely. I mean, what about this thing? What about that? Well, as evangelical Christians, we believe it's all God's divinely inspired Word. So let's just look at it. First of all, to be a member, you have to believe in the one true God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, and you've got to receive him as your Lord and Saviour. You have to believe in the Holy Bible as the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. You've got to believe that unrepentant sinners will be condemned to eternal punishment. Now that's a stumbling block for some, you know, who profess to be Christians but don't believe what the Bible teaches, that there's a heaven to be won and a hell to be shown, that There's a cost for just for ignoring the Lord and refusing his offer of salvation. And Jesus made that plain. And so did the apostles too. And so we need to be clear on that, that God wants you to be saved. But you've got a choice to make. Just as you've had to make that choice. I hope you've all made it for the Lord. I remember the day when I was 16 actually, and I knew it was all or nothing. I was living a double life, away at school, I was not living for the Lord, but back home, and at Sunday school, youth fellowship, I was really doing two shoes. And I knew the Lord was saying to me, Brian, what's it going to be? It's all or nothing. It's horrible sitting on the fence, it's very uncomfortable, isn't it? And getting that, it's impossible in fact. And that's the best decision I ever made in my life. When I was 16. Amen to that? Some of you are nodding. That's good. Do you remember the joy that came into your heart? Do you remember that sense of elation? Oh, I'm free. But you know, I nearly didn't give my life to the Lord fully. I nearly walked away. I saw the price. It was just like I saw the nails being banged into Jesus' hands and feet every time I let him down. And I got back, and my brother said to me, I'd been to the Billy Graham Crusade in London in 54, and my brother said to me, Brian, did God speak to you tonight? I said, yes. He said, did you give him your life? I said, no, I haven't. He said, why not? And I explained to him, he said, Brian, don't you think that God is big enough and strong enough to keep you from falling? Just like the light came on. Of course he is, I thought. This is Almighty God. If I commit my life to him, then I'm sure he'll commit to keeping me. And I tell you what, he's never let me down, and he never will. And I know that I have a place with him in heaven because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor, so that I, who was poor, might become rich. Isn't the gospel wonderful? Doesn't it get you excited? You're allowed to say yes. But it's such a wonderful message. That's why it's almost too good to believe. And that's why some people say, oh, come on, it can't be as simple as that. Believe in Jesus, commit your life to him, receive his forgiveness, and you are forgiven. As easy as that? Yes! It's as easy as that. Commit your way to the Lord, and he's going to keep you. But then we have to be endeavouring in our daily lives to follow the example and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in the Holy Bible. We've got to be members in good standing of an evangelical Protestant church or assembly. And then this one is where the church leader has to say, yes, this is, I can vouch for them. We've got to be men and women who by our lives, work, church and other relevant experience seek to achieve the objective of the association as stated above in a Christ-like business and professional manner. Now aren't they the core things that drive us as evangelicals? So if God's saying to you, come on, I need you in this ministry, we need you in this ministry. We are desperately in need of some younger blood. I was 24 when I joined the Gideons, and you know, 56 years ago I was sitting in a church like this, an evangelical Baptist church it was, and the speaker told some testimonies of what God was doing through people reading Bibles in hotels and so on. One of those stuck with me so powerfully. It's a man in a Glasgow hotel had gone to this room, booked a room on the top floor purely for the purpose of committing suicide. So he went, as he was walking towards the window, he saw by the side of the bed a Bible. It was a maroon Bible, but like this in every other way. They used to be maroon, and we got these colours, so it was a bit more attractive and less scary for those who weren't used to picking up a Bible, and it fitted with most of the decors of the hotel. And he saw that and he thought, I wonder if there's anything in that that I ought to read before I judge. Isn't that an amazing thought for somebody who's about to commit suicide to have? And as he opened it up, because his eye quickly fell on the where to find help, when. And that little index is a marvellous way of quickly finding help where you need it. And what did he turn to? He turned to where to find help when contemplating suicide. And he turned to a couple of scriptures which they were intended to be written, though. They were written to actual Christians. And this is what he read in 1 Corinthians 6. Oops, sorry. I switched off by mistake. Oh. Ah, I'm back on. Thank you. Not very good at this. Oh, no. Go back. Go back. Where is it? Yeah. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. And he thought, I can't do this. I can't jump. My body's not my own. My life's not my own. And it's amazing, although they were written to Christians, those words there, he saw it as a non-Christian as something he had to deal with. And then he thought, what do I do now? I'm still in a mess. My life's in hardly worth living, and that's why he's going to commit suicide. And then he saw in the front page, if you need help, bring this number. And he rang the man who I was listening to that morning in our national office in London at that time, and he told him what had happened. And Arthur prayed with him, and he said, look, I want you to stay right there. I'm going to get one of our members who works nearby you to come round and meet you in your hotel bedroom and share the gospel with you further. Put the phone down, made a call to a member in Glasgow, working here in the city. He was round to that hotel, and within an hour he led that man to Christ. And I thought, wow, what a network. That through an organisation of, at that time, Christian business and professional men and their wives, we could get that call, make that call. And it's phenomenal just to think how that worked. And that man gave his life to the Lord. And in that room, which had been in the intention to just end his life, he found a new life in Christ as he read those precious words that your life is not your own. You are bought with a price. Isn't that wonderful? And those helps in the front are proving such a tool for so many. You know, the gospel is powerful. Well, it's not just powerful, it's incredibly powerful. And it's still the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And Paul goes on to talk about not just the Jews, but it's the Gentiles as well. And it's for everybody. A young person wrote to a young adult wrote to our national office recently and said, I'm writing to thank you for the copy of the New Testament Psalms that you gave me when I was 12, one just like this. Through reading this book, I've come to faith in God, and I'm thankful to Him for opening my eyes. I'm now 23, and my faith has helped me through many things. I've found your section on where to find help when especially helpful. I wanted you to know how much you've helped me, so that none of you lose heart with your work. Isn't that important? We mustn't lose heart. We've got to keep on doing what God's called us to do. If we can get people just to open up the Word of God, we know the light of the truth of the gospel and the light of God's love will shine out to them from its pages. Young people, you might forget most of what I say today, but you won't forget that, will you? Just remember that the light. You know, the Apostle Paul says, sorry, not the Apostle Paul, the Psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And if we just read the word of God, you won't forget it either, will you? Now, I just want to explain that I didn't deface a copy of the Bible. It was a miscellated one that was going to be scrapped, so I adapted it, okay? just in case anybody's getting worried that I've done something irreligious. But please remember that. If we can get people to open the book, God will speak. So when we present New Testaments to young people in school, 400,000 a year in the UK, 2,500 of those in Coventry area, if we can get them to open the book and just even dip, we know God will speak. And then he demands a response. What will you do with what you've heard? And people have that choice to make that you and I have had to make too. And I'm so glad that God gives us that choice. Sadly, some schools are making it very difficult for us to get in at the moment. And we were doing 4,000 a year in Coventry. We're now down to about 2,500. And we're battling to get into about 8 schools. So would you please pray for us? It's partly business on the part of the curriculum. It's partly apathy on the part of the staff that we have to go through. It's partly sheer unbelief and an unwillingness to realise the power of the Word of God, that it is indeed the Gospel and it needs to be available for people. You know, the other thing that we're reaching out to young people a lot with is these college testaments at the universities. 2,223 we gave out in Coventry and Warwick universities in September and October and the Freshers Weeks. That was incredible. But you know, far more declined than accepted. Happily, some of those are declining. I've still got my install facts. That's good. Others just either walked past us as if we didn't even exist, or said, no thanks. But the 2,223 that accepted, many of them came from overseas. Many of them hadn't been offered one in their own countries. Even though we're working in 200 countries, they came to England to get the gospel. And it's wonderful when we hear of some of those being taken back and reaching whole families. In one case I heard of, in China, a whole village for the Lord Jesus through one college testament that we're able to give out for just over £1 to a young student. You know, we can give that to a person in school, an 11-year-old pupil, for just 87 pence. Isn't that an incredible investment? And when I think of it in terms of investment, you know, sort of lay out treasure in heaven. Yeah, lay out treasure in the Word of God. Get it to the people where they are so that they can read for themselves. Will you please pray for Christian students? Very, very precious time. Think of all those students who are away from home for the first time. Many have been running well and then get led astray. Many get lonely and desperate, turn to the wrong people for help. Please pray for Christian students away from home. And for those who aren't yet Christians, that as they have choices to make, they'll make the right choices. Let's pray for ourselves. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So we're back to spiritual chiropody again. Let me share with you another testimony that a 7-year-old wrote to us recently. 11-year-old brother. I'm in year 7, and a couple of months ago we were given the Red New Testament for Psalms. I looked into the Where to Find Help page, and I found exactly what I was feeling. Even though I hate to admit it, I was close to suicide, but it really did help. When I felt like I had nowhere to turn and nobody to speak to, I had God. So I was staggered when I heard on television just a couple of months ago how many young people are so disillusioned with life that they take their own lives. They commit suicide. They can't see any hope. In Eastern Europe, that rate is far, far higher. They just can't see any way out of the desperate circumstances they're in. And so they think, well, life will end it all. There's nothing to do. And that's so sad. But we can give them the hope that they're looking for. We can give them Jesus. And as we share the gospel with them, well, it's just wonderful to see how many lives are being saved. I want to close with a testimony from Russia. Anybody been to Russia? Anybody been to any Eastern Bloc countries? Well, I'll tell you what, nor have I. But I've read enough about it to think I don't really want to go either. But you know, when the East opened up, when the old USSR crumbled nearly 30 years ago, and some of us were old enough to remember the scenes on television as the Berlin Wall was torn down, brick by brick, and the statues of Stalin were toppled and so on, and it was just, I looked with incredulity, you know, thinking, wow, I didn't have faith to believe that could happen. But many people had been praying for it over many years. And when it happened, it was just wonderful. Well, in the moment that barrier came down, the Gideons went in and we started flooding the old USSR countries with the scriptures. And in no time at all, millions were being poured in there. And we heard of thousands coming to the Lord. We had an open door into the military. It was fantastic. And thousands of service people were coming to Christ. And they were then sharing it. When you've got a general who comes to the Lord, he's telling all these people they need to read this book. And so they were opening up vast tracts of the old Russian army and other Soviet bloc countries. And it was really fantastic. And so the word of God was spreading quite rapidly there. And then one day, there's a man called David, and his father was a well-known criminal. And a friend of the family gave his dad a New Testament. I don't know whether that friend of the family was a Gideon, I haven't got that information, but all I know is he got a Gideon Testament somehow, he gave it, and he said, I'd like you to have this. And David saw his father reading it quite often. And then one day, he had with David the first adult conversation he'd really ever had. He said, David, I want you to have this book. I can't live by it, but if you can, you'll have a much better life than me. Now at that point, David was admiring his father. He knew he was feared, and he knew he wasn't very nice. As far as other people were concerned, he thought, wow, look at the power my dad carries. He didn't start reading that testament straight away, but those words stuck with him. And he kept it. His father died a year later, and a few years later, he felt drawn to read it. And as he read it, thinking again about what his father had said, he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He made the right choice. His father made a bad choice. But his father knew what he was doing. He exercised his free will and he said, I'm not prepared to go that way. But if you do, you can have a better life. I thought, how wonderful that he felt he could say that to his son. He knew it was the truth, even though he wouldn't buy into it himself. Well, David is now a pastor in Moscow. And since then, he's just been sharing his testimony and preaching the gospel to thousands and thousands of people there in that Soviet city. And many people are coming to know the Lord Jesus for themselves through that wonderful decision that he made for the Lord. But there are just a few examples of what this ministry of the Gideons is about. The power of God's word, the word of God, is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Isn't that what happens? When you read the Bible, it reaches you. It's like looking into a mirror. I don't do that so much these days. Not a very pretty sight, but you have to do it to carry me here or whatever, and you look into the mirror and you think, wow, do I really look that old? You know, when we look into the mirror of God's word, He shows us what we're like. And He says, I need you to change this. I need you to change that. And if we take the medicine, He will help us to do it. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. The word of God is full of living power. It's sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. Isn't that right? Not nice to have bad things exposed, but it's necessary. We're going to get them out and let the Lord be truly, totally Lord. And I'm just going to close with just a few quick, how can you help? Well, first of all, please pray. Secondly, would you like to become a friend or a member? A friend, no annual subscription. You simply get on our mailing list. We keep you informed of what's happening. We ask you to pray. And then if the Lord puts it on your heart, you support it. You can either do it by putting coins in one of these little tubes or stand in order or whatever. But if the Lord puts that on your heart, come and talk to us. And then you can buy New Testaments to give away. As Friends of the Gideons, there's a pocket edition just like that with a maroon colour that you can give away. It's got the same notes in the front, it's a very useful tool. But if you become a member, that costs you £10 a month to cover the administration costs of the association, so that everything else that the church gives and the individual Christians give is used solely to buy scriptures. So people know where their money's going, not being gobbled up on overheads. That's the Gideon's responsibility. But then there's something that's absolutely free, and you must have one of these if you've got a smartphone. Who's got a smartphone here today? Right. This Gideon Bible app is 1,283 New Testaments that you can have on your phone. 1,283 languages. So you meet somebody from Romania and you say, oh, you're from Romania. Have you got a Bible or New Testament? No. Have you heard about Jesus? Well, who's he? Well, let me show you. You can turn to on your phone to John 3:16. Then you say, Romania. So you click on the country Romania and it will play John 3:16, 17. They can hear it in their own language and read it. And it's absolutely free. So you can carry with you the equivalent of 1,283 New Testament, which is a lot easier than carrying 83 of those around. And that's absolutely free. If you buy one, simple to download, preferably do it on Wi-Fi rather than on data, and it's a couple of minutes, you've got it. And you can carry with it so that you're ready for whoever you meet. So there are a few things, how you can help. But above all, please pray. Thank you so much, and the Lord bless you. And please come and do make sure you take a copy of Gideon News, and we'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brian. I never knew that, that they can phone a local member up and go and speak to someone who's struggling. And isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful to know? What a thrill to know that God's word is still working. We believe that, don't we?
Yes.
But isn't that amazing? I know what I've had some of these and I've mentioned them in the church. But I wish I'd have known about the way you can use it. The fact that you can actually speak to someone in any language. I'm going to speak to my neighbour this week. And I'm going to ask him what he thinks of it. And I'm not sure what language he speaks. I didn't know they had that. So that's just tremendous. So we do need to pray, don't we, for the Gideon work and for those that are involved. We're going to turn to sing our final hymn, and then after that we're going to gather around the Lord's table. You're the Word of God, the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. We'll stand to sing. thank you that as the prophets have all shared and as we read in the New Testament, that you are not as other gods, lifeless. Lord, you are the creator of all things. You are the God above all. You are the one who weighs the nations on the scale, and they are but dust. And you are the one who came and died, that we might have life. Oh, blessed God, we thank you for your mercy to us. Lord, we pray now as we gather around your table, that you remind us again afresh of the wonder of salvation. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.